In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Welcome. Glad you're joining us today here on the I Spy Radio Show, where every week we help you get a little more intelligence on big government. This is the first new show of the new year. I can hardly believe we're starting our 11th. You know, some of you know that I spent a couple of years in the film industry and about 20 years in publishing as an editor and writing coach before that. And I can tell you one of the techniques writers and filmmakers use to draw you into a story is to create empathy between you and the character. Say, for example, the character is a woman. She seems sweet, but there's something there inside, some pain of some kind. And as you get to know more about her, you find out she's being abused by her husband, who treats her horribly, insults her, demeans her, occasionally hits her. And one night he comes home especially drunk after he lost his job again and lashes out at her, except this time he's especially brutal and assaults her violently, mocking her weakness against his strength. After he passes out, you can see it in her eyes. She's had enough. She goes and gets the gun and puts an end to her misery. And the rest of the story begins. Maybe she goes on the run or it's about defending her in court. But the point of that is to build empathy and feelings for her. You experience her trauma. You understand the pain she was going through and why she would do what she would do. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. You're experiencing real emotions for someone who doesn't exist. It's a fictional character. Your feelings are real, but the person you're feeling them for isn't real. I mention this because the left, which controls Hollywood, spends endless amount of time and makes a lot of money selling emotions, selling you understanding, selling you empathy. And yet, where was that empathy in the aftermath of this election, when millions of people cried out in anger and frustration that their votes were stolen, that the election was fraudulent, that the country they love is being stolen and assaulted? Where was that empathy? Because if you actually wanted people to trust the election, you would do the opposite of what the left has done. Instead, there was contempt and scorn for anyone who dared question it. There were court cases, but not one judge, not one, held an evidentiary hearing to examine the evidence. Why? Why would you not want to at least look at the evidence, to give people a voice, to build at least some sort of empathy bridge there, to let them know that they were heard, and if there were problems, fix it and fix it together? But there was none of that. It was shove it down your throat. It was mock you if you tried to get them to stop. It was obvious theft in broad daylight. They knew the fix was in and didn't care who saw it or if they were caught because they knew you were powerless to stop it. That is the real left. You will know them by their actions. And so much of the left is built on falsehoods, manipulation. They use techniques like storytelling to create false narratives, not to build genuine trust, but to manipulate you into a false trust. And if you have to be tricked into trust, you should never trust them. So that's our focus this year, expose the left like never before. We'll have lots of shows on that this year, but I want you to keep what you just heard running in the back of your mind. You're being lied to. You're being manipulated by people who have legal control over your life. I'd like to welcome Dennis Lithcombe back to the show. He is a businessman and rancher with a high-level IT background and is also currently the senator for Senate District 28, which is South Central Oregon. Dennis, it's good to talk to you again.
You bet. It's always fun to come on the show and see what's happening in the world and how that impacts us or how we should respond in an appropriate manner.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we had an interesting event here in Washington on Wednesday. We had some people breaking into the Capitol. It's still, as of right now, a little up in the air exactly who did it. It looks to be a mix of both Trump supporters and far-left Antifa people trying to cause trouble. But did you happen to listen to Trump's speech beforehand? Because if so, where was the inciting to riot? I didn't hear anything like that. If anything, I thought he seemed a little flat.
Right. Well, see, this is the power of the media. The media has been spreading the same story over and over and over again, and they're relentless at it. They just they pick a point. For example, all Caucasians or white people, people with white skin, blue eyes, green eyes, doesn't matter. They're racist, and they don't even know they're racist. And so now the fact that you don't know you're racist leaves you susceptible. But, hey, I really could be. I don't think I am. And you're defending from a non-evidentiary point of perspective. It's my opinion that you're a racist, but you're not a racist, and you have never have been a racist, and you've never owned a slave, and on and on and it goes. So the evidence is against this talking point, but the talking point gets pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit like asymptomatic COVID. You don't know you're going to kill granny tonight when you go to the nursing home and walk into the lobby and talk to your friends and kiss granny goodbye on the top of the forehead. The theory is that because you're a human being and you do have literally thousands, if not millions, of germs and virus particles and nucleotides and whatever roaming all over, that somehow those are now the deadly cootie that we were all afraid of in grade school. And so not only has the left usurped common sense, traditional values, and normalcy when it comes to communication, they can bar Trump, they can bar you, they can bar I, they can bar I spy from ever getting truth onto the street.
Yeah, and I think that's the really damning thing right now is they made these accusations against Trump and then took away his one means, his one platform that he was able to respond to these charges and allegations, you know, on Twitter and Facebook. They took that away. So they make the allegations and then he's not even allowed to defend himself. Moving on a little bit, I do feel a deep sense of betrayal from Pence. On Monday, down at a rally for the senators in Georgia, he told supporters there, "I guarantee you on Wednesday we'll have our say." So he was lining it up as though he was going to step in and stop the steal. And then he rolls over and does nothing. In fact, he issues his statement there practically while Trump is giving his speech that he wasn't going to do anything and didn't believe he had the ability to do anything. But when you listen to somebody like a Jen Ellis who's on the Trump team, they weren't asking him to throw out the electoral votes. They weren't asking him to overturn elections. All they wanted him to do was to send those states that had dueling electors, send it back to those states for clarity. And then have them make the final decision. I mean, he essentially made the decision for those states, which to me is every bit as interfering as if he had thrown out the electoral votes. So what are your thoughts on Pence?
I agree with your take on it. I think Senator Cruz did a great job. He said, look at, you know, power to the states. Let's look at the evidence and decide. It's very similar. I hate to, you know, keep pointing back to COVID, but it's the similar thing. I can claim to be, but, you know, if I get caught, they don't let me. I guess I'm breaking up here because I'm stuttering with my thoughts. The point is, if you can't make a claim, if you can't make a counterclaim through the, you know, mainstream media and the network giants, the Googles and the Facebooks and the YouTubes and the Twitters, if you can't successfully make a claim through those avenues of communication, it's a really one-sided conversation so that you are guilty, whether or not it's true. They can corrupt public opinion to make it appear as though you are.
Yeah, and they really don't want any other debate with that. It really is about total control, one party to rule them all. Okay, we're up against a break here. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Senator Dennis Lynt to come coming up. We're going to be talking about some of these restrictions here in Oregon. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking with State Senator Dennis Lithicum from Senate District 28, which is in South Central Oregon. So, Dennis, we were talking there about what had happened on Wednesday in Washington. But let's shift now to what's happening here in Oregon, the land of the never-ending lockdowns. You have a great newsletter talking about the tyranny of COVID emergency orders using bad data as justification for bad decisions. But first, before we go there, though, there have been some changes in the legislature. The House had a pickup of a couple seats, so the Democrats no longer have a true supermajority on that side. There was some changes in the Senate there. I think we're minus one now. Is that correct in the Senate?
Actually, we'll even out. We lost one, but gained one.
Okay.
So we'll still be at 12.
So does that change anything then, as far as some of the legislation that's coming out, especially on the House side?
No, it doesn't really change anything. Both chambers, the House and the Senate, have super minorities. So it's a super majority, super minority. It's very much like the tragedy that happened at the federal level. The Democrats own the House. The Democrats just took the Senate at the federal level, but they've owned the Senate for a number of years here in Oregon. And they own the presidency at the federal level, and they own the governor's office, and have owned that office for some 30 years. And so it's really potentially dangerous. It's outright dangerous. Anytime you have a supermajority, it becomes a dangerous environment because of the political power that has been gained, usurped, taken, or utilized by the governing class. And so the governing class are the elites who run the boat. They're the ones driving the ship, and you and I are just down in the engine room shoveling coal into the furnace, but we have no idea. The boiler's cooking away, but we have no idea where we're going. And they're the ones that have the steering wheel and are driving the ship.
Yes, it certainly takes away the notion of representative government when your side isn't being represented at all. In fact, it's being excluded from any of the conversations. Getting back to, and again, you have a newsletter dealing with this. It really is fantastic, and we'll make sure that we put up on iSpyRadio.com. You talk about the never-ending COVID lockdowns. First, they scare people into submission that it's the worst thing that ever happened to humanity. People are going to die horrible deaths. If you get it, it's a death sentence. We need all these tests to show how many people are getting it. Let's lock down the economy, keep people in their houses, stop them from meeting at churches or restaurants or in the public square. I mean, those were the three places that just happened to be critical for public discourse, as we certainly saw in our own American Revolution. If you wanted to destroy a sitting president and take over, I mean, it was a brilliant plan. We have not had massive more deaths in a normal year. So Senator, I think we're here because leftist think tanks that get a lot of their funding to the tune of billions of taxpayer dollars are paid to sit around and scheme up and game plan these kinds of things with the aid of leftist big tech. I fear that now with Democrats taking power in the presidency, it's going to be trillions going to fund the left, and we will only see more of this. What are your thoughts, especially on how we stop this?
Well, yeah, your point's spot on. You know, Oregonians' constitutional rights are under attack. The never-ending lockdowns are significantly destroying the private mom-and-pops, the small restaurants, the non-franchise establishments that didn't already have a dual drive-through line for go-to or takeout only and that kind of stuff. And so, and the transfer has been from mom-and-pop to the big tech guy. So we're shoveling financial resources into those Bezos billionaire pockets, Amazon.com or whatever, is just growing astronomically. And all of our economy at the hometown level on Main Street, all the workers who live and thrive in our local Oregon economy, they're getting devastated. They're getting destroyed. We've got more unemployment now, and there's no way to, how do you stop the unemployment when government caused the unemployment? So, and Oregon doesn't have the ability to print checks or, you know, fill your unemployment cachet or whatever. They just don't have that ability. So they've got to get it from the federal government. And this is what makes what you just described so pertinent. The Biden administration will keep going with the welfare state until they, you know, enslave, and that's a tough word to quote, but enslave everybody. You will be working or begging or borrowing or bowing to state power, and state power is pernicious when it gets this big. I think the last part of your question is how do we go about stopping this? And it has to take place within the grassroots. Unfortunately, the intrusions at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., I think Antifa inspired it more than anything else, and it turns out to be a bad deal. We should have been there waving our flags, but what were they going to do once they broke into the Capitol chambers? Were they going to take hostages? Were they going to shoot it out? None of them were armed. The poor gal Ashley, who got shot by a Capitol police officer, was unarmed. So why don't we see headlines about unarmed peaceful protester slain by police? You don't see that. What you see is Trump-sponsored insurrection and should be held accountable, impeached, and probably persecuted after he's out of office. This is really going to be an interesting transition that happens, supposedly a peaceful transition, but I doubt it.
It's definitely not going to be peaceful. I mean, they're going to hound him. They're going to hound. And they've already said that. AOC and Pelosi and others have all said that we need to track down these Trump supporters, especially those that had worked in the government, and make sure that they never have a voice again. They have actually said that. And so that's where we're headed. Let's go ahead and take a break. Coming up, we'll be talking more with Dennis Lithcomb. He's out of Senate District 28 in South Central Oregon. We'll be talking some more about these endless lockdown orders here in Oregon and how we stop them. And welcome back. We're talking with Dennis Lithcomb, the state senator from District 28. That's roughly in the Klamath Falls area. He also has an extensive background in technology, which makes his insights about the bad data being used to fuel Oregon's endless health emergency to control people and businesses very valid indeed. Dennis, and again, you've got this great newsletter out there that we'll post up on iSpyRadio.com. And in that newsletter, you say this: the massive COVID-19 test, retest scheme is the only thing that keeps Governor Kate Brown's lockdown hype going. The deconstructionists in control love their power, and testing has proven to be the perfect tool. And this is what I really want to drill down on. But now we see the data isn't being used to make good decisions. It is being manipulated for ulterior ends. I don't think most people are aware that it is being manipulated. Can you explain how it is?
The COVID test, there's a couple aspects to COVID. One part of the PCR test is its sensitivity to being valid or being right. And the other part of it is a specificity with regard to the COVID-19. It actually be called SARS-CoV-2. And the reason those two terms, COVID-19 and SARS-CoV-2, are important is SARS-CoV-2 is the virus itself. And COVID-19 is just the symptom. So if you have a runny nose from a common cold, you're identified as being a symptomatic of COVID-19. And actually, there's a big funding stream behind that. So you get labeled COVID-19. And of course, they can run the PCR test, and the PCR test doesn't have any specificity to it. So the PCR test doesn't actually find this little microscopic or billions of these microscopic SARS-CoV-2 virus cells within your body. What it does is they say you've got all the symptoms, and we see little bits of RNA that could be from last year's flu. It could be from H1N1. It could be from anything in the playbook. And so they take that and they put it into their stack, and they gen up the number of, quote, positives. They never mention false positives. They never mention the fact that there's no specificity to that. They never mention that the guy who designed the PCR test said this is not a reasonable test for diagnostics of individuals. It's simply a test that can be used in a lab setting where there's reasonable precautions for contamination, but it cannot and should not be used out on the street poking some swab up individuals' noses. Because when you see a common cold, you'll see symptoms that also resemble COVID-19, and it's just false. So the data is clearly being manipulated, even with regard to hospital beds. hospital beds are supposedly overrun, but when you look at the source of the individuals who are in hospital beds, they opened up elective surgery. Remember, we've been operating hospitals at 20% capacity, and now they're back up to 75 or 80% capacity, and Governor Brown and her OHA cronies claim that proves we're about to get overrun. But the truth is, the difference between the 20% and the 80% number is simply economics. A hotel cannot run on 20% occupancy. In fact, your apartment building can't run on 20% occupancy. You need numbers near 80 or 95%, 90% occupancy to be profitable. Same with hospitals. And so this is all just manipulating data to make a point. And the news media, they're more than happy to run with it. After all, this got Trump thrown out of office.
Yep. Well, absolutely. And the manipulating data, I mean, that's something we see constantly on the left. We definitely see it in things like global warming, where it is constant fear mongering when the data shows little actual warming, unless you look at a little tiny slice of the timeline rather than looking at the entirety of the Earth's timeline. It's certainly not warmer than it's been in the past, and certainly not due to carbon dioxide. So we can sue them over this bad data, and we can win over the bad data. But it seems like we're always playing catch up with the left. I mean, how do we get in front of them and make them respond to us rather than the other way around?
What they have done successfully is they've overtaken the institutions. They own the judiciary, they own the Senate, they own the House, they own the governor's office at the federal level, same, all the way around. And they own the academics. And academics have been working at the government trough, if you will. They've been getting sponsored and paid through government resources all of this time. So if, quote, the people in power want, quote, this study, then they'll be more than happy to provide the study that comes out with the answer that they want. Look, yes. We see it here in the Klamath Basin with regard to salmon and short-nosed suckerfish. We see it with regard to water flow into the Pacific. We see it with regard to all sorts of things that don't make sense. There's no traditional value. There's no efficiency. There's no economic gain or benefit that can be identified because it's political. And this is the danger of socialism. Socialism, the socialist economy works from central planners, and central planners don't need to respond to the public at large because they're in charge. So they don't need to be, you know, looking at efficiency or economic advantage or supply and demand or cost and benefit or need. None of those things count. The only thing the central planners do is reward those who are following the line, repeating their version of truth, repeating the lies, essentially, and bowing at every turn. And then those people will stay in business. Those people will get rewarded. And our economy is essentially shattered. Everything you and I know about free market economies is being shattered by the regulatory state.
Yes, absolutely, yes. Okay, let's go and take a break a little bit early. Coming back, I want to talk about some of the pushback here that's going to be happening in Oregon. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Senator Dennis Lithcomb. And welcome back. We're talking to Senator Dennis Lithcomb. He's out of Senate District 28. That's down the Klamath Falls area, south central Oregon. And he has a great newsletter do you put that out every week or is it every month?
I used to do it every week, but everything changes so fast. I'm
sure.
More like once a month. I put out a press release every Tuesday morning, but that mostly goes to media, hoping to get somebody to say, "Hey, what do you mean by this?" Yeah. And it rarely happens. that I get feedback from mainstream media. They don't want to hear the truth. They're not interested in traditional worldviews or logic or a valid analysis of science. They're just gung-ho for carrying the flag.
And they certainly don't want somebody arguing with them and proving them wrong, that's for sure. Well, we'll get some information from you about how people can sign up for that if they're not already, and we'll put that up on iSpyRadio.com as well on today's show page. As I said, you've got a great newsletter talking about the COVID restrictions and whatnot. But before we get back to that, recently there has been some pushback by mayors and county commissioners that are just fed up with all of this. And they are now openly encouraging people to open up their businesses and defy the governor. In response, Governor Brownshirt issued an order to her minions in OSHA and the Oregon Health Authority and others to punish these dissenters and to use any and all means to fine and punish them back into submission. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, this is actually just terrible. What we see is the regulatory state. So Governor Brown can't exercise any control over the individual. You have your life and liberty and your own pursuits of your own happiness. And your, as long as they're just pursuits, as long as they're, not associated with criminal action, you have the freedom to speak your mind and say your word. And this is the key. This is what Facebook, Twitter, and the gang want to stop. They want to stop people from thinking their own thoughts. So what Governor Brown is actually using is the regulatory state. We have several businesses in Klamath County that have dared, quote unquote, to stay open. And so OSHA comes in, and that's the Oregon's Health and Safety Organization. They come in and they say, to maintain your restaurant license, you must wear masks. And so now what they're attacking is your ability to get a permit to operate your business, your ability to operate your business in your own format with your own rules for, no shirt, no shoes, no service kind of thing. You can't do that anymore. What they've done is they've taken that sign and thrown it out and said, the only requirement we have is masks, 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 and face diapers all day long. And then you have to wash your hands for 20 seconds also. None of this just dipping them into water with a spot of soap and drying them off. You got to scrub them. And it's like, this is just ridiculous. Who are these guys? And then the killer is, for these restaurants, the public health violation is $500. And that's, that's really not a big deal. $500 and they're supposed to be saving planet Earth from COVID? That's not a big fine. The killer is the very next line on the citation is willful noncompliance fine, $8,900. Mm-hmm. And this, what this says is, if you dare defy my edict, I'll break your back. $8,900 per day is what's available to them in code. And they will just crush your business. And it also tells everybody else on Main Street, don't you dare poke your head out of this little hole we've got you weaseled into, or we'll whack-a-mole like you've never seen. And this is the death of the American economy with this kind of absurd regulatory power coming from the state.
Well, it's not even just the death of the economy. It's the death of the American dream. It's the death of America. This notion that individual God-given rights, and the state is now actively trying to do everything it can to take away those rights.
You're absolutely right. This is the gotcha of the whole thing, is they are taking away their rights. Their fear-mongering is destroying the American, dream as you and I know it. And we kind of walked into it, didn't we? We knew everything was corrupt. We knew it was bad. What we didn't realize is how easy it would be for a couple of key densely populated counties to undo what you and I thought was a fair and open election and the people's choice. I've always claimed that there's 3,400 some odd counties in the United States, and Trump won 80% of those counties, and Biden won 20% of those counties. So it turns out that those counties with, big populations, is you only had to put in some small percentage of ballots. And because there's so many people and they're so hard to discover what it was that was false, the numbers go popping through the roof. And it, all of a sudden at 2:30 in the morning, actually it was 3:45 in the morning, boom, there's this change in the electoral count, and nobody will allow the Trump team, and this is back to your Mike Pence point, nobody would allow a serious conversation about what happened and why it happened and how it happened. And so this is the same thing that happens when you shut down a restaurant and you give them an $8,900 fine. There is no recourse. One of the restaurants here, Casey's Restaurant in Klamath Falls, they said 18 people complained. I don't buy that for a second. Show me the 18 people. Show me their names. Show me their addresses.
And that's the other thing, too.
Where do they live?
You're not even allowed to face your accusers in these. I mean, and that's hallmark of justice. And you have these Karens out there complaining that somebody's not wearing a mask or not wearing it correctly, and the insanity of this. And they're able to hide behind anonymity. I mean, how do you even know that those people exist?
I think
if you're going to make these kinds of accusations, you should have to do it in person, and you should have to do it with the business owner right there.
Right. I actually don't think they exist.
I guess these accusers are just like Democrat voters. They really don't exist. Let's go ahead and take a break there. Coming back, we'll have more Dennis Lintikum. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking with Senator Dennis Lintikum. He's the state senator from District 28, which is down in the Klamath Falls area. It goes over to outskirts of Grants Pass, and you're almost up in New Bend, I think, as well. He has an extensive background in technology, and you'll really enjoy his thoughts on the COVID lockdowns in his most recent newsletter, which we're going to go ahead and link up on iSpyRadio.com, and means for you to go ahead and sign up for that as well so you can get the future ones. And so getting back to that newsletter, talking about the COVID restrictions, The infection fatality rate, you say that it's falling faster as the presumed confirmed and asymptomatic cases keep rising. This should be great news, but it is never treated by the media or political class as such. And to me, fatalities is in reality, the only data point that truly matters. I mean, we don't lock down economies because of sniffles, but if one in five people are dying, then yeah, you better do something. Instead, it's a 99.9% survival rate, or even higher, depending on your age group, if you get it. You point that out in your newsletter, but I'll ask it here on air. Why are death rates never discussed?
Well, I think if the article you are reading, I go back and show that in 2009, WHO, the World Health Organization, changed the definition of pandemic. Is that the article you're reading?
Yeah, it's from your newsletter.
I know it's my newsletter, but I'll have another. If you don't have both of those, I'll get you it. But here's the point. In 2009, they changed the definition of a pandemic to no longer include massive death counts. So what they essentially do is they said in their definition of a pandemic that death doesn't matter. It's just overall sickness. So you could actually, they could declare a pandemic over the common cold if doctors' offices were reporting lots of common colds this year because temperatures were falling or something like that. You know, whatever the reason, it doesn't matter. If there's widespread infectious disease, then they call it a pandemic. In the old days, in 1918, when the Spanish flu was coming through, they called that a pandemic because of the death count. So today, death count isn't part of the definition, so there's no need to report on death counts. Who cares about death counts? We're talking about a pandemic, and the only thing relevant to a pandemic is it impacts a lot of people, mildly most of the time, but nevertheless, they got impacted, and so they're running that through the machine, and it comes out in headlines daily. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous to see three people died this week from, and they never tell us three people died this week in auto crashes, but somehow three people dying this week from COVID is just the horror of horrors, and we can't believe that President Trump allowed this to happen. And so it's a media engineered pandemic. It's a false positive pandemic, and they're using these numbers to gain control over your life and my life. And Lord knows where this is going to go. And you and I have to figure out how in the world do we slow down this problem we're facing. Stop it even. You know, yeah. I said, slow down. How do you stop this when they've got all the technology and all the power and they won't let you voice your opinion, your data, your science, or the relevance, irrelevancy of their own interpretations?
Right. And even questioning the data, I mean, you're essentially putting yourself forward as an enemy of the state. How dare you question the accepted science? How dare you question our numbers? Even though if you look at how they're constructing the data, it's clearly fraudulent. Where they keep changing how they're counting people. I mean, one of the things that I think is really damning that the governor did was back in May, she decided to lump in presumed cases with actual positive cases. This is where somebody tests positive, and so they presume everybody you've been in contact with over the last 14 days is also sick. So, and they have no actual data to support that. They just presume it. I mean, if you tried to do that in an academic study, you'd be laughed out of academics. And yet that's what we're now, the governor is now doing to control these lockdowns. She was also reporting the number of tests rather than people. So if one person got tested four times, it was counting as four rather than one, which is what it should have been. And then in later, I think it was in September, she changed that people were positive for 60 full days, regardless of when they stopped being positive. I mean, of course, that's going to inflate the numbers. So you're right. This is absolutely a constructive narrative.
Anybody with half a brain can figure this out. Look at it was 14 days to dampen the curve, you know, to lower the spikes that might happen if we just let this run amok. And so it was a 14-day time period. So tell me now why we're keeping that for 60 days. And you keep it for 60 days, is that means the ones from next week and next week and next week and next week for the next 6-8 weeks. All of those people get added into what the news is reporting, and now it looks like a gigantic number where everybody who had it 2 weeks ago no longer has it today. See, the problem is people are mistaking COVID-19 testing our actual testing rate, because it's high. We're testing thousands and thousands of people with false positives to the boot. We expect that means COVID is running rampant, but that's got nothing to do with being sick. So illness isn't plaguing our Main Street economy, your household or my household. What's plaguing our economy is a corrupt and manipulative government.
Yeah, absolutely. You asked some good questions there. And one of the three is what does our future hold? And what do you think is the governor's end game in all of this?
Well, in the first place, she accomplished her end game. President Biden is now the president elect, and Trump has conceded the election. So, boom, done. All those Democrat run states, Democrat governors, all of those people who have been killing their local economies are going to turn to the federal government. How in the world do you think we meet the PERS requirements when nobody's working? And the Oregon Department of Revenue suggested that unemployed individuals were making, with the federal money that came from Trump and with the extra $2,000 that comes from Biden, it'll be several times this, they were making 140% of their working salary by being, quote, unemployed. Yeah. Now, anytime you're handing people more money to be non-productive, what will you get? When you give people money to mow your lawn, what you get is a mowed lawn. When you give them 140% of that revenue for staying home and watching TV, what do you get? You get people staying home and watching TV. This isn't brain science. It's not like the socialists have a solution for what's plaguing our economy. We know the right answer, and you're not allowed to say it, because if you say it, you'll get drummed off the mainstream media airwaves, and you'll be canceled for life.
Yeah, it's pretty astounding. Okay, everyone, stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Dennis Lithgow, state senator from Senate District 28 there, and coming up, we'll be talking about fixing some of these broken systems.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The iSpy Radio Show.
And welcome back. We're in our final segment now with State Senator Dennis Lithicum out of District 28. That's in the Klamath Falls area. And we've been talking about the endless COVID restrictions, but let's now start talking about fixing things. Before we get to there, though, real quick, do you think Governor Brownshirt will leave Oregon for the Biden monarchy?
I hear that over and over and over again. And so I think there must be some substance to the rumor. I, of course, don't know. I hear there's also the possibility that, like, Merkley goes into the Biden administration, and then the governor appoints herself to state Senate. And then Shamia Fagan, after swearing in next week, becomes the new governor and has 2 years at the helm. And somebody else fills in the Secretary of State. And then, you know, good grief. How do you stop this onslaught?
Yeah, but it's democracy, don't you know?
Right. Yeah. This democracy from the grave.
Yeah, that's right. One of the big things in this last election, in fact, I think the biggest thing was voter fraud. As you had said earlier, there was not a single court that actually sat down and listened to the evidence. And I think that was a massive mistake because we saw that at Wednesday. People were fed up. They were frustrated. And so it wouldn't be surprising if some of those people that jumped into the Capitol were Trump supporters, because they've been pushed to the limit. They are literally watching their country being stolen out from under them. So in terms of voter fraud, to me, the big situation is you've got the gatekeepers. Claims of voter fraud, of being non-existent and small, focus on the public side. And it is somewhat rare that people will submit false ballots or, you know, dead people voting, although this last time that wasn't the case. We saw a lot of that. But one or two bad apples on the inside of the gate, and you can change thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of votes. How vulnerable is our voting system right now here in Oregon? And if somebody wanted to steal the election, could they?
I'm actually fairly certain they can. Have you, either of you, been an observer during an election?
I haven't been, but I've gone through some trainings for people. Yeah.
Yeah. So what you realize is you actually have no idea. You're there in the room and they're counting, but they separate you so that you're not breathing down their back and they can efficiently and without, somebody interfering with their job and their performance. And, you know, it's from a cost benefit perspective, of course. And they want those people who are working there to get their job done and do it as quickly and efficiently as they can. And therefore, the observer has very little chance of observing anything. They're there. It's kind of a nod. It's a token. It's a, yeah, sure, we let people into the room. In Georgia, they didn't let people into the room. They shuffled everybody out and ran ballots for 3 hours, the same stack again and again. Yep. In other cities, they put cardboard over the windows and they didn't let people in. And the reason they didn't let people, somebody has to ask the question, why didn't they at least give a wink and a nod to observers? And it's because they couldn't run that many ballots through fast enough if people were actually there watching what's going on and where the ballots came from under the table and on it goes. So, yeah, we're very susceptible to fraud here in Oregon. We've been on the mail. Look at how the left did it in these big states. They did mail-in ballots. Well, tell me, how do Oregonians vote? Yeah. They vote or mail-in ballots. How in the world was Oregon the leader in mail-in ballot shenanigans how many years ago now? And so we are extremely susceptible because this is how you stuff ballots. Yeah. And this is how you control the idea. Even if everybody getting a driver's license, they give you they register you right then and there. So let's say there's 75% of the population votes. That means there's 25 or 30% of the population that they just don't care. They're happy living their life. They're happy where they live. They don't care about politics. They're not interested in it. And what happens is that 30% of the vote is the only portion of the vote you need to stuff to change yes. direction. You'll never have that person who's not paying attention walk up to the window and say, "What do you mean? I didn't vote yet." And that'll never occur.
That was one of the real interesting things.
That's the buffer.
Yeah, that was actually one of the really interesting revelations on Wednesday with Rudy Giuliani. He had a professor there with him who explained that what they saw in the Dominion machines is they had an active folder that had all of the non-votes so far, people that were registered but hadn't voted. And so if they needed to manufacture votes, they just pulled out of that. So of that 20% buffer, suddenly you can make up 20% of the vote from people that hadn't voted, but you could then claim that they had. In the minute that we have left with you, real quick, Professor Turley out of D.C., who is a Democrat, is now calling for a federal commission to examine the 2020 election. He says he hates commissions since they're normally a political football, but if one can be, as he said, a no-holds-barred federal commission to look into the presidential election, it needs to be done. What are your thoughts? Is that where we go with this?
Well, I think the problem with that is just like COVID-19 data and analysis, just like the Trump Russiagate, just like the dossier, just like Comey and Brennan and the DOJ, the FBI, if these guys are all, quote, engineering a false narrative, and big media and big tech, who's in pocket with big government, continues blasting that over the wire, then of course the result coming out of there will end up being null and void. It doesn't mean anything. For example,
I think we just have to get back to states actually enforcing their own election laws, and because when you control everything, it's hard to stop anything. Dennis Lithcomb, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
You bet. It is always fun to discuss these things. I look forward to more conversations so that we can save our republic.
Like so many other times in life, when you're dealt a blow, it's good to look back in history to see how someone else handled things. Considered the worst defeat of the American Patriots in the War for Independence was the loss of Charleston in South Carolina. It was humiliating. The British captured more than 3,000 Patriots and huge amounts of munitions and equipment after the unconditional surrender of Major General Benjamin Lincoln to Lieutenant General Sir Henry Clinton. Confident of British control in the South, Clinton sailed north to New York. South Carolina was a deeply divided state, and the British let loose the full violence of a civil war upon the population using the Loyalists to attack the Patriots. But the Patriots hunkered down, relying on guerrilla warfare to eventually drive out the British. They persevered, and after that humiliating surrender at Charleston, it was Major General Lincoln who accepted Cornwallis's ceremonial sword when he surrendered to Washington's army at Yorktown, the final battle of the war. We haven't lost the war. We've lost a battle. Our forefathers didn't give up after losing a battle. The fight goes on, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.